Okay, all those add to my playlist people out there, we got a great guest on today. I love this gentleman has got music pouring out of him in so many different directions. I love it. Jeffrey Bryan's here with me. You might recognize this gentleman. He's done some stuff with a great band called Survivor on keys. He does music for TV. He's a movie star, a verified friggin' movie star on the podcast. I'm really excited to have Jeffrey here on the show. Jeffrey, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you. Welcome to Add to My Playlist.
Oh, well, my thank you for having me, David. My pleasure.
This is exciting for me.
Looking forward to talking to you today.
It's exciting for me. And I got to start here because you caught me by surprise. I went to your website, clicked on play. You are part of a group called KTEL All Stars. And you were doing a cover of Magic by Pilot. And you, sir, have some amazing vocal pipes. What
Thank
a great
you.
Song. It was awesome.
Yeah, that song is I can remember that song when I was like 10 years old, you
right.
know? So it's ingrained in my head, I guess. But yeah, KTEL is a great fun band. A lot of fun. It's actually, the show's called The Totally 70s Show.
Nice.
Featuring the KTEL All-Stars. It's a little unclear because we started the band with the idea that a band was going to recreate these amazing songs written by, you know, one-hit wonders and top 10 singles that appeared on KTEL records in the early 70s and the mid-70s. And a little nervous that maybe KTEL might be a bit of a copyright infringement. So we made sure that the name of the show is called The Totally 70s Show.
Yes.
The band is still the KTEL All-Stars.
Yeah.
I guess if they come after us, it's a good problem to have. I don't know.
You've caught somebody's attention. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a great, if anybody watching, we'll put links in the show notes. You got to go check out the band. It is so much fun to watch you guys, and you have so much fun together. You can see it on your face, and I love a band that has fun playing live. That is the most fun for me as
yeah.
an audience member than four guys staring at their feet. You know, I'm like, come on, guys, like, get
yeah.
into this and enjoy it so we can enjoy it. I love it.
Yeah. Not to sound cliche, but it's what we live for, you know.
Right.
I mean, especially those five guys, we just can't wait till the next show.
It's awesome.
You know, it's like, when's the next one? You know, because all we care about is getting on stage, recreating this music, because it's so much freaking fun.
Yeah.
And you can't hide that, you know, yeah. from the audience.
It's amazing.
It's
what is one of your favorite besides Magic, which again, I love. It's amazing. What's another song for you in the set list that you're just like, when you see it coming up next, you're like, oh, I can't wait to play this song.
Oh, Things We Do for Love.
Yes.
By 10cc. Lady, Little mm-hmm. River Band
yep.
is another great one. God, there's so many.
So many.
Just about every
right.
song. I mean, you know, those songs are handpicked by
yeah.
us. They're not just another. What I'm saying is, obviously, we picked them. They're in our set list. But what I meant was, we really, really care about what we're not just saying, okay, we're a 70s band. We're just going to take a bunch of hits from the 70s. These songs all have specific reason for being in the set, not
yes.
just because we love them, but also because they fit with the mythos and the story that we kind of have going throughout the kind of runs through the vein of the show, which is basically a band that has been sent from the 70s to fix rock and roll. It sounds hubris, but it's funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little arrogant, but it's also meant to be tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
But one thing that I'm very proud of is we're not satire. We don't take ourselves too seriously, but when we have fun, but we really play these songs and
yeah.
we try to recreate them the way we think they may have recreated them in 1975. So we're using the same instruments, we're not tracking, all the vocals are real, and
mm-hmm.
it's got to be good, you know. And so it takes a lot of effort, a lot of detail, and a lot of time, and that was a non negotiable parameter of putting this band together. It was like, if we're going to do this, we want to be the band.
Yeah.
We don't want to just present the songs. I mean, anyone can put the records on, and that's not what we're about.
I love it when you embody the music. You know, you could easily go buy the latest tech and try to copy and make it better. I'm putting air quotes. It's not better, but making it with new instruments and new equipment, you can make things easier for yourselves, but you're doing it the hard way, and I love that.
Well, thank you. What happened was we just wanted to play the songs as they were recorded.
Yeah.
And we realized that by playing the original material in the way that they may have tried to recreate it themselves would be more difficult than it would be to just use samples or tracks or whatever. And in doing that, we realized, well, why would a band do that now? They wouldn't, unless they actually were from the 70s. And that's how that whole mythos thing started. You know, we said, well, why don't we take a time machine, we come out. We don't know what Facebook is. We don't know what the internet is, but we know what a Wurlitzer is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it kind of all came, it sort of all sort of just snowballed from there. And we just kind of embraced that whole mythos thing. And it turned into a show.
It's spectacular. I love it. You got me hooked. I was born in 1969. So technically I was around for the 70s and, oh gosh, I love it. It's great. It's really, really good stuff, Jeffrey.
I'm a little bit younger than you. I was probably too young to enjoy the 70s the way I would have enjoyed songs, say, when I was in high school in the 80s. But as a songwriter is how I discovered that era, because they don't write songs like that anymore.
No.
They don't approach material like that anymore. And I'm not trying to make an argument for which one is better. I'm trying to say that the reason that the songs sound the way they do has a lot to do with how music was approached in that era. And because of that, it creates a certain product that you're not going to recreate today with today's modern approach. And so that is a long, you know, a gone by era, but it's also, I think, the time of the songwriter more so than any time.
Yeah. And the musicianship, the ability to play your instrument well, to fill in all the gaps, vocal harmonies across the board. It's like you're not like one segment, like you just play lead for 5 seconds and then you stand there for the rest of the song. You're part of this. This is all one big group, right? I love that.
It's not that in the 70s everybody was a virtuoso.
No.
That's not it. It's just their approach to music was always usually through an instrument. And so, you know, in order for me to get the vocal right or get the guitar part right or the keyboard right, I had to create these skills. I couldn't just go to a computer and try to fix it later or auto-tune it or whatever. The musician of that era had to be able to pull from a skill set that you don't necessarily have to have today.
I love it. Okay, so let's go back in time, because I was listening to you on another episode somewhere else, and you were talking about how keyboard wasn't your first thing. Vocals was your first thing and your first passion,
correct,
your first love. And it shines through again in the song we're talking about. But talk about going back a little bit to your vocal background and why vocals was kind of the thing for you early on.
Well, that's... It goes back to when I was about 11. I discovered I could sing, 11, 12 years old. And when I say I could sing, I just meant I was a loud mouth, you know. I discovered I had this loud voice. I didn't really have musicians in my family, but my mother always encouraged me. I think she enjoyed singing as a kid or something. And she kind of realized that I had... I triggered something in her. And so we used to sit together when I was like 10, 11 years old with the record player and put the needle on the record, listen to the first line of the song and then lift it off and write it down and then do the next line and write it. Cause you didn't always have the liner notes, you know? And from doing that, I would then, my dad was in the electronics business and he used to bring home all the latest home consumer recording gear. So I used to have like the double deck cassette deck players and, you know, where I could record the song on one cassette and then record it on a second cassette along with my live vocal. And so I could sing on top. I mean, I could, you know, basically it was karaoke, but it was me singing on top of the other guy's voice. And in doing so, it taught me, I was just trying to copy. You know, I didn't like to hear the two voices, so I would try my best to, like, you know, try to just stay in the lines. And that's how I learned how to sing.
Nice.
And I just enjoyed it. I mean, I was a small, 12, 13-year-old that, you know, wasn't antisocial, but, you know, those are the tough periods, you know, growing up. And I think that music gave me confidence that I didn't maybe I would have found in other ways as I grew older, but I found it in singing. I could be bigger than I taller and, you know, larger than life than I was, you know, just sitting in my room. So, I never really had any fear of getting on stage because I had the body armor of being able to sing.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of the opposite. It was like, it kind of insulated me from feeling scared because my approach to it, it just gave me confidence. You know, I suppose if I had to get up there and act or debate somebody, I'd probably be, you know, shivering in my boots. But singing gave me confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're exuding
it. It just felt like something I could do, you know, and it was sort of like a way of, it protected me from feeling too nervous because, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I got attention when I did it.
That feedback's immediate, right? Interaction and everything.
It was immediate, and that kind of feedback never left me. And I you know, to this day, I work. You probably ask any musician, you know, the biggest joy of performing is that immediacy that you have with an audience.
Yeah.
You know.
It's cool. One thing I really find unique about your story, Jeffrey, is the fact that you had the opportunity to be in one of the most iconic movies ever recorded. And I think as soon as we say Karate Kid, everyone has a memory of Karate Kid. Everybody can go to a certain scene and identify, and we know the wax on, wax off, everything. We can just quote these lines forever. You got the chance to be in the movie, and then you go full circle. The soundtrack for the movie, you become the keyboard player supporting the band Survivor from the song. How does this happen in any world? I don't understand this.
I don't know. It's kind of like, how did life evolve on this planet? I mean, you know, a little bit of sunshine, a few things happen, a meteor, I don't know. And next thing you know, you've got Karate Kid. If you're referring to the Survivor connection, I didn't have one, obviously, in the 80s.
No.
I was a singer. I was a performer. I was trying to, you know, be a musician at that time. I was, 17, 18. And I wasn't very successful at finding good quality musicians to play with. So I had always been, you know, going on open mic nights and playing myself and doing my own thing and writing songs. And I was producing. I kind of landed this situation where I was producing music and contributing to a show called Too Short for Primetime Players, which was put on by a couple producers at the Roxy on Sunset for matinees on a Sunday for children. And it was children doing shows for children. And I was probably the oldest one in. I was 16. I was probably the oldest kid, in the whole show. But they, you know, they range from, you know, little 2-4-year-olds that could ballet or tap dance all the way up to my age that were singing rock songs. And it was just a variety show. It became pretty popular, and some of the news crews picked up on it, like Eyewitness LA and a few other places. And next thing you know, the people from the Merv Griffin Show, which is kind of synonymous with the Tonight Show or something, Johnny Carson, for people that don't remember Merv Griffin. And, you know, he was, you know, huge in the talk show world. And so I ended up on the Merv Griffin Show promoting that show with Jerry Lewis and a bunch of other people from the show.
Wow.
And I got to sing a song. I couldn't sing my own song, piss me off, but I had my own songs. I wanted to perform my own. They wouldn't let me.
No.
It was publishing, you know, whatever agreements they had with certain publishers. Anyway, make a long story short, I sang this song "Best of Times" by Styx on national TV in 1982. Kind of weird. But because of that show, an agent approached me, an acting agent, because I was in a show with a bunch of kids, and half of them were in movies and, you know, had commercial agents and were doing stuff.
Yeah.
People that you would probably know that weren't stars at the time, you know, and they were just kids. And so I was reluctant, but I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And they sent me out Karate Kid wasn't the first film that I got.
Yeah.
I was in another movie, and Karate Kid was just sort of a 2 week. It was supposed to be 2 weeks. I was supposed to just go in, kind of. I was a featured actor, but I didn't have a lot of lines at first, and so it wasn't. I didn't know what they wanted. I think the script was cut down so much. They had two groups of people. They had the Cobra Kai's, which everybody knows, and then they had Freddy's gang, which is me and Israel Warby, who was Freddy, and Tom Fridley and Ken Daly and Frankie Avalon Jr., the five of us, four or five of us. You know, we were just supposed to be his buddies in Reseda. And we did have lines, and we had all other scenes, but they didn't make it into the movie, which made sense. I mean, the movie probably would have been too long and unnecessarily needed to go into these other relationships that didn't really drive the story. But it was a very interesting experience, I mean, to say the least. I didn't consider myself to be an actor. I considered myself to be a musician that was doing this acting stuff to pay the bills. You know, that's how that came about. But as far as Survivor goes, I didn't even really at that time, I wasn't paying much attention to Survivor. They had a big hit called Eye of the Tiger, if anyone's heard of that, in 1982 with Rocky III. So they were kind of connected to the same people that were producing Karate Kid. And it wasn't a surprise that they were trying to market the movie or create sort of a kid's version of Rocky. And a lot of the people that worked on the back end of Rocky were the same people that worked on Karate Kid. John Avildsen, you know, the director, of course, same director. So, you know, of Rocky I, he was the director of Rocky I. And so there were a lot of similarities, and they wanted the same band to do something similar, even though that soundtrack was amazing because they had so many amazing artists on the Karate Kid soundtrack. Moment of Truth was a Survivor song, and it was used in in most of the TV ads to promote the movie. And oddly enough, I'm in the music video for Moment of Truth by virtue of being in the movie. I should send that to you because I have the promo. Yeah,
nice.
It's a commercial for Karate Kid, and it's not. It's the Moment of Truth video that was used, and they have Jimmy Jameson, of course, singing Moment of Truth and the band and everything, but they intercut it with clips from the movie, and I'm in it, and so it's just so bizarre.
It's so surreal.
I mean, yeah, I know.
That is crazy. Okay, so like that's part of what we do here on Out of My Playlist is invite people to add songs to their playlist. So maybe that's one we can start off with just because we're talking about right now.
Sure.
So Moment of Truth, we can ask people to add this to their playlist. For you now as the performing with the band, this again, it feels probably pretty weird to do it, but is there something special about this song when you play Moment of Truth?
We don't play it. That's what's special
about it. Wait a minute.
Yeah, okay. the story gets deeper here. You see, when I when I first got the gig, I explained to Frankie Sullivan, of course, you know, guitar player.
Yeah.
He wrote Eye of the Tiger with Jim Peterik. I said, hey, you know, I was in Karate Kid. Yeah, we know. I said, well, when are we going to do Moment of Truth? We're not. Why not? They didn't write that song. It wasn't really supposed to be a Survivor song. They were obligated to do it for Scotty Brothers,
yeah,
the record company, that they got sort of, I can't say for the exact reason if it was a contractual agreement or just a handshake thing, but they were kind of forced into doing that song. And what's interesting about it was Peter Beckett, the guy that wrote Baby Come Back for Player, you know, the guy in Player, he wrote that song with Bill Conti, who is the guy that wrote all the soundtrack stuff for Rocky. And that's who wrote that song. And they brought, they wanted Survivor to recreate it. And here's an interesting story for all you Survivor fans. Jimmy Jameson wasn't in the band when they first got that, you know, first got wind of doing that. Dave Bickler, who was the original singer, he was having vocal problems, so they were looking for another singer. And the very first song that Jimmy ever sang for Survivor that was recorded is Moment of Truth.
Really?
Yes, this is before Vital Signs, before The Search Is Over, before all those big hits. This was his coming out, so to speak. They just had gotten this new singer, and they said, all right, we'll sing this one. And it ended up being the soundtrack, you know, the title track for Karate Kid. Anyway, we don't play it, which is kind of silly in my opinion. Sorry, Frank. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's a great song. It's not whether it's a great song or not. There's a lot of Survivor fans that may not consider it to be a Survivor song. So I get that. But, you know, the guys in Survivor, Jim Peterik and Frankie Sullivan, wrote a lot of songs for different people for 38 Special. And, you know, there was just a ton of songs floating around. So it's not surprising. But anyway, to answer your question, we don't play that. I mean, you didn't ask, but we don't play that song. It's just one we don't play. It's not it's not on a Survivor record.
Really?
It doesn't. Okay. It only exists on the Karate Kid soundtrack.
Well, there you go. So there, that makes that.
It was never
right
released as a Survivor single.
And again, so surreal that you're in the video clip for the song and now performing with the band. That's just crazy.
I know. It's just, it's like, wait a minute. And my wife and I discovered this after I got the gig with Survivor. We were doing our research, looking around, and we discovered that I was in the video when I pulled up Moment of Truth. And I'm like, wow, how prophetic is that, you know?
Okay, so everyone listening, we're going to be adding Moment of Truth to your playlist because, hey, you know, there's a story right there. So it's so great to have Jeffrey on the podcast, but go over and add Moment of Truth to your playlist here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. We'll be right back. Here's the song. Hi, everyone. This is Dave from the podcast. Just jumping on quick to tell you about TrueMediaSolutions.ca. What is TrueMediaSolutions.ca, you're asking? Well, TrueMediaSolutions.ca is the umbrella that is over all the different podcasts that we do here for you. We have several different podcasts. So if you go to TrueMediaSolutions.ca, take a look and you'll find all of the different podcasts that my wife Jennifer or myself do, either separately or together. Check us out. Find out more about the podcast that we're doing by going to TrueMediaSolutions.ca. We'll meet you over there. See you soon. Okay, everyone, so there you go. Moment of Truth has happened. It's there. It's in your playlist. Thank you so much, Jeffrey. Brian is here with me on the podcast, on the Out of My Playlist podcast. We're going to switch gears, talk about Jeffrey's own songs, because not only is he an actor, a great musician all around, he's the king of the 70s, apparently. He also does his own stuff, which is great.
I doubt I'm the king of the 70s.
King of the 70s. Sure. There you go. Yeah, that's it. You're now that. Count Me In is a song from yourself as a solo artist. And one thing before we jump into that, Jeffrey, one thing I really like on your YouTube channel, I love your little evening, looks like evening music things. I hear April in the background welcoming everyone to the event and the time with you. And you just play songs and you sing. And I feel like I'm at the best, classiest bar in the place. And I have front row seats, like I'm right at the piano with you. And I love those, by the way. So I'll put links in the show notes.
Yeah.
Everyone has to go watch them all. But tell me the idea behind those. What was the idea that sparked that?
Yeah, it's called COVID. That was the idea behind it.
Really?
I had an itinerary, like, as this is going to sound like everybody's story, of course, it's no different. Whereas I had my bags packed. I think there's a line in the song, got my bags packed, and I'm ready, you know, heading out the door. But literally, I had my bags packed and I was ready to go, and I got a call. We canceled the tour. I was going out with Survivor in 2020, wow. Like, you know, like I did for the previous couple years. Yeah. And March is about when we start up, or it was that way then. And yeah, COVID just kind of shot everything down, shot it down and shut it down. And so during that year, you know, nobody was at least nobody in my circles were playing,
no.
You know, actually performing. And what are you going to do? You know,
right.
So I just decided to entertain people I knew that were following me and stuff. And I would just put up a song, and literally most, aside from my own material, most of the songs were things that I didn't even know 5 minutes before I recorded them. They were just, I would go listen to the song, figure the chords out and go, okay, let's do it. And then I'd record it and perform it. And then we'd do one next week, you know?
Awesome.
And so I created about, yeah. I don't know, 15 of them, 30 of them.
They're great.
20. Yeah.
They're really, really good. I really enjoy them. I really, really like
thank
them.
You.
It's got a really nice mood to it and everything. The candles, the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, that's April.
Yeah. There you
my
go.
Wife. She's a photographer, so she wanted to have. Yeah. We were just, honestly, I don't think we were much different than anyone else. Probably has a story too. We had to fill our days with stuff, yeah. And you know, I couldn't call people to go and rehearse with or play with or go out and do a gig. So we just kind of figured out ways to entertain ourselves.
Awesome.
And
okay.
I ended up creating a, you know, sort of like a library of little videos that I stuck on my website.
Beautiful. It's great. Yeah, we'll definitely have it. JeffreyBryanMusic.com is the website as we're talking about it. So let's talk about Count Me In. Let's talk about a little bit about the song, how this all began. And let's give some people some insight behind the scenes to Count Me In.
Well, Count Me In, I mean, first of all, I've been writing songs forever. I mean, it's not like like I decided to write songs in 2020. I had a ton of material that I hadn't finished because unless I have a reason to finish stuff, sometimes they just sit there, you know.
Yeah.
And in this case, there was a group called. A friend of mine hooked me up with it called The Song Machine, and it was the most bizarre thing. It was, I didn't meet anybody. You didn't talk to anybody. This is pre-COVID too. And basically it was an email ring of people that every week someone would, the whoever was in charge of the ring would send a title to everybody. And you had to write, it wouldn't necessarily a title, it could be a phrase or a word, and you had to write a song by the end of the week, complete, with that title or phrase somewhere in the song, or inspired by that title. And it was basically it was just an exercise to keep your writing chops up when you had nothing to write for, you know, just something to do. And if you missed a week, you were out.
Oh.
Yeah. You couldn't come back. You were done. Unless you, the only way to leave is to say, hey, I'm not doing it for now. Call me back another time, you know. And so it was this thing called The Song Machine. I don't know who came up with it. And I wrote a boatload of songs I didn't finish from having been forced to write songs for no reason or just for the inspiration of writing a song. And Count Me In started as that. It started as that, whoops, sorry about that. Let me put that back. Hold on. There. It started as a little piece of music that was just like inspirational that I had written. But when COVID started, I decided I wanted to finish some of the songs that I had started. Not all of them from that Song Machine thing, but just some. And I went back through the library of songs. And I was like, hey, I like this chorus. I'm going to finish it. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and finish a whole bunch of stuff because, you know, between doing nothing and doing nothing, I might as well do this, you know. Yeah. And so Count Me In ended up being a little – it wasn't written about COVID, but it certainly fit, you know. It just basically about somebody that feels like they have something else to be doing that they should be doing. And for whatever life circumstances are, they're being held back It's very frustrating. The song's very frustrating. That seems to be a theme with me. Frustration.
Is there anybody else with you on that track?
No, I've played everything. Okay. The only thing I didn't play is I invited a friend of mine to come and play drums for me on that track. But I played everything, guitar, nice. Keys, recorded it, you know, mixed it. I did everything.
Yeah. So going back in time too, like between your vocals and then playing keys, guitar was also in your past as well. So you got multi-instruments as well. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, I play guitar. I'm not a great guitar player. It was my first instrument after vocals. But, you know, it didn't sing to me. You know, I play guitar. I've got great rhythm. I'm fine. It's just that keyboard, the piano, just seemed to be much more of a comfortable blanket than the guitar did. Nice. And so I knew how to read and write music. I took years of theory. I understood what I was doing. I never learned music through an instrument like most people. They you know, they're, here's our piano, Johnny, and now through piano lessons they learn other things. For me, I already understood music theory. I understood because I was taking voice lessons and doing that kind of stuff. So I applied what I had already learned to piano and guitar. I didn't have any lessons on either. And I just took what I knew and ran with it. And then piano man, just not piano man, but piano man, was just very exciting for me when I was a kid. I was like, this makes sense. All the notes are in front of me. I've got all the chords, all the keys, they're right here. And it just, it's an instrument that never seems to you never know it all. There's just so much a piano can do. It's amazing. Anyway, awesome. That's me.
I love it. Okay. So everyone, this is Count Me In. From Jeffrey Bryan. Please go ahead, add this to your Spotify playlist. If you're on YouTube, your YouTube playlist, if you're on Apple, anywhere you're going to collect your songs, this is a great song for you guys to be adding to your list. Jeffrey Bryan here on the Add to My Playlist podcast, and Count Me In. There it is. Hey, thanks for dropping by the Add to My Playlist podcast. This is the external version of our podcast for non-Spotify listeners. But if you go to Spotify and sign up, you can actually hear the song played here in the podcast without leaving. It's great. Otherwise, you can check us out on YouTube. We'll have links to the songs that we're speaking about within the podcast that you can click on and hear the songs there on YouTube. But thank you so much for listening to the Add to My Playlist podcast. Jump over to Spotify and check us out over there and see what you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. All right, so that was Count Me In on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Jeffrey Bryan is here. If you need any personal protection, he's part of Karate Kid. He can help you with keys. And he's got he definitely wants to make sure everyone knows that friends don't let friends clap on 1 and 3. So, so he's back, and we're going to be talking about a song we mentioned at the beginning for KTEL All Stars. This great thing going on, Magic by Pilot. You're going to have to go check the link in the show notes again to go see Jeffrey's version with his band of cohorts there. Jeffrey just kills it on vocals. I love it. Jeffrey, talk about this song. Why is this song in the set list? What's so important to you about this song?
Well, this song, like a lot of these songs in that era, I think it was 1974. I think so. And I could be wrong about this. So someone will correct me. It was either Alan Parsons had something to do with it.
Can hear that? Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't remember. I think it was Alan Parsons. So it was either him or Todd Rundgren that produced it. I just remember this song when I was very young, and it came and went. It was just a big hit, and then it was gone. In fact, in that era, there were a lot of songs like that kind of showed up on people's radar they were everywhere. And at the age of 10, 11, 12, whatever that is, it's so impressionable. And, you know, think about it. I mean, at our age, you know, let's just say older than 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay.
let's just say that, you know, at that age, you know, when you think of 2 or 3 years, not much has changed, you know. I mean, maybe life changed a little bit. But my point is that ask a 13-year-old what their life was like at 10, and that's like 40 years difference, right?
Yeah.
So when you hear a song at 10 or 11 years old that has a very interesting connection for whatever memories that you assign to it, it doesn't go away, you know, and by the time, you know, 2 years go by, you're a different person, you know, much so more than you would be as an older person in 2 years.
Right.
And so because of that, I think those songs have sort of been burned in your memory somehow. They've become connected with you in a way that wouldn't happen, you know, if perhaps you were older.
Yeah.
is my point. And I think maybe it's got something to do with my age at that time and that, you know, and the fact that the song was something I used to run around the house singing, you know. Whatever happened to that song? And you know, now I'm in a band that says, yeah, what happened to that song? Let's bring that back.
Nice.
You know, and so there's quite a few of them like that. But I think the one that kind of exemplifies that which I just said, one of them is Pilot by Magic by Pilot.
Yeah.
You know, they had one hit in America. I mean, yeah. I think they were from Scotland or something.
Amazing. So, okay. Deconstruct for me charting out the song, figuring out the song, your process from a keyboard and vocal side. Any little tips that you kind of do that you feel are kind of unique when you approach a song and learning a new cover of a song?
Okay. Well, first of all, you always have to consider who's going to be listening to the song and in what medium are we going to present it. So for me, in this particular case, it was for the KTEL All-Stars, the Totally 70s show. And we have a certain criteria, a certain way that we approach the material. So I'm gonna have a more specific way that I approach that, which I could explain.
Yeah.
For example, if you're doing like my COVID videos, that's a very different approach. That's a more singer-songwriter approach where basically it's most important to have the melody down and you're just accompanying yourself. But with respect to the way I play this song live, remember, the KTEL All-Stars doesn't track anything. All the keyboard parts have to be played by, you know, by yours truly. So can that be done? No, of course not. I only have two arms and two legs. So what I do is I have tricks and certain ways to make things sound full to cover as many of the parts as humanly possible.
Right.
And in the case of Magic, there's a percussive piano part in there.
Yep.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, you can hear it. Yeah. So there's this, you know. You know, that thing. And then at the in the low end you hear this bow, bow, you know. And I split the keyboard up and I have two sounds on that keyboard. And the lower octave is playing that. It's like a low sax horn kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the rest of the song's played on an organ, which, you know, when I'm doing the verses and some of the choruses, I switch to organ at the top. The verses are on the piano. There's also a string part in the song.
Which
if you listen carefully, you'll hear this da 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 da, which it's not possible for me to play that, sing it, and do all the two other parts. So the guitar players took over that.
Okay. Okay.
That little part. So I mean, we have ways of trying to recreate the entire song with five guys, with no tracks, and it's a challenge. But it's a challenge that's made me a better keyboard player, and it's also, I think, a more exciting approach to for the audience to. I mean, it literally looks like I'm in the kitchen cooking while I'm playing. I mean, I'm pushing buttons and I'm moving, you know, because everything that I'm touching is going to make a sound.
Yeah.
and it has to happen. So it's more of I think a lot of guitar players that use a lot of effects might agree with this. It's more like a choreography, you know, where I have to I learn the song, I chart it out, or I'll learn it, basically know how it goes. Figure out, and sometimes if it's a lot of instruments, I'll put an Excel sheet together and figure out, okay, there's these parts and I'm going to use these patches. And a lot of times I have to create patches to sound more like the record. You're not going to find them in the factory patches usually. And so there's a little bit of work there. And then what I do is learning the song's the easiest part. The hardest part is patching it together and, you know, in the keyboards themselves. And then learning what the moves are. You know, on the verse, I'm going to have my hand on this instrument, and then I'm going to go here, then I'm going to go there, then I'm going to turn this, then I'm going to hit that. And you try to do this with as least amount of moves as possible.
Yeah.
It's the choreography of it. So when I rehearse these songs, learning to sing them and play them is actually, you know, that's boilerplate. That's the easy part. It's actually rehearsing the moves. Once you get the moves down and you know where you're going, another song is Lonely Boy by Andrew Gold, which is another very special song for me. I don't sing that one. Another guy in the band sings that. But it's another one where you've got strings and, you know, organ and piano and Rhodes and all kinds of different instruments. Same thing. It's a lot of moves.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Beautiful. I mean, I've got all kinds of tricks.
I love it. Okay, so this is Magic by Pilot. And again, if you want to see an updated, and I would say, from my personal opinion, cooler version of the song, go over to the show notes and you can see our good friend Jeffrey singing it and belting it out. And again, it'll just make you smile, like to watch all this stuff happen, knowing now, as we hear, about all the different things going on to make this song come alive. I love it. So go check out the YouTube video link in the show notes and watch the video. Give it a like, a share, and all that on YouTube as well. Please do that. But this is Magic by Pilot, the original version, here on the Adamant Playlist Podcast. Okay, so I know you're not a musician.
I got it. Okay.
What if you're just a music lover? Yes, perfect. You're the perfect person to come on the Add to My Playlist Podcast. Share with us your favorite breakup song, your summertime put the convertible top down song, maybe your wedding song. What was your first dance? Oh, come on, all romantic. Come on, the Add to My Playlist Podcast, and share your favorite song and the story behind it. We would love to have you. Yes, you. You love music? Come on, the Add to My Playlist Podcast today. Okay, everyone, that was Magic by Pilot. And again, as I've already asked and requested, go and check the show notes and check out Jeffrey's version with his band as well. All that information in the show notes. Jeffrey, before we go, thank you again for making time for all of us here at the Add to My Playlist Podcast. Talk a little bit about your music for TV and stuff that you've done on your website here. I see links and photos for shows I watch all the time. And you're kidding me. You have something to do with some of this amazing music we hear on TV. Talk about this.
Well, I've been writing for years, of course. Okay. And many, many years ago, I had a publishing deal with A&M as a staff writer for their publishing company called Almo Irving, which I think was later purchased by Rondor. I don't know. And so I've been sort of on the publishing side of things. I've been, you know, writing and doing, you know, songs and different things for different productions for years. And I fell into a music, I guess you call them a music warehouse, if you will, I guess. And they supply songs to different, you know, various TV shows and things like that. And I started filling their library with just a ton of pieces, and they were just, they ended up becoming a very well-known clearinghouse for you know, people would come to them for needle drops and, you know, little plugs and songs and other things. And I just have a ton of music that's on a lot of like reality shows. Yeah. A lot of these shows are wall-to-wall music, you know, and so they have to have 100, maybe 100 cues per half-hour show. I mean, it's ridiculous. If you ever look at like Pawn Stars or any of these other shows, you'll notice there's never a moment of silence.
Right.
It's constant music, and every one of those pieces has to be written by somebody.
Right.
You know, and they're not all mine, of course.
Yeah.
But through the years, I've kind of collected a large amount of TV music that ended up, you know, being used for a lot of this stuff. And you know, to this day, I still do it. You know, I do it all the time.
That's nice. So, okay, so you write something for a TV show like that, like Pawn Stars, for example, and then you just kind of put that on the shelf. Like, you can't really use it anywhere else, right? That's
no,
theirs,
no, that's not,
right?
That's not exactly how it works.
Okay.
You don't really know what it's going to be used for.
Okay.
So if you're working with the music supervisor or whomever, they might give you an idea of what type of styles they're looking for. But you have no idea if it'll be used or where it'll be used. And
wow.
So I write for myself. I write, you know, for my own library. And I have hundreds and hundreds of pieces, and some of which I can even just pull them apart and, you know, remix them, and they'll sound different, or I can mix and match them or whatever. So it's mostly stylistic notes, you know, that you'll get. You know, we need something that's techno meets chill or something, or
yeah,
or rock or whatever, blues meets disco. I don't know, just making stuff up. And so you come up with these different it's pure creativity. It's just having fun writing, not worrying about, I mean, writing songs is a very different thing, you know. It's a completely different animal.
Yeah.
It's a different medium. It's a completely different approach. But for this stuff, it's kind of like, it's like me handing you a blank canvas and saying, I want you to use these three colors. I don't care what you make the picture of. Go for it.
Okay.
You know, and so you do, you know, you come up with stuff. And it's a very good exercise at just allowing. Sometimes I'll sit at the piano and I can sit there for hours. And just play, stop thinking, let my hands do the rest, and don't try to force. I'm not trying to create an idea. I'm just trying to a stream of consciousness, so to speak, and you know, put a recorder on and just see what I get, and you'd be amazed, you know, what you can pull from stuff like that.
Nice.
You know, songwriting is different because once you have a basic idea, you know, songs require a lyric to be supported by music. So it's a different kind of medium, whereas music by itself is itself. There's nothing for it. So it's supporting whatever the music supervisor and editor or director feels is going on in the visuals at that moment. So you don't know what that's going to be. So you're just writing music.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love it. That's cool. Again, it's always been curious from my side, watching all these shows, and you hear the music, you're like, I wonder who that is. Like, I wonder how this all happens.
So, nine times out of ten, 99% of the time, we're not talking about movies, that's a different thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But generally speaking, anything you hear on TV wasn't written for that specific purpose. It's just worked. And that's what a music supervisor's job is to seek out music that'll work to make the director's vision, you know, whatever they're trying to communicate. There are times when, you know, certain writers may get a budget and they're being contracted to write something specific, and that does happen still. But generally speaking, for cable, there's so much that the budgets aren't that big, and they're generally looking at libraries. So whoever wrote that music, it wasn't not intending it to be on, you know, on where they're using it. It just works.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeffrey, before we go, I have one more question after this, but for people that are looking to connect with you and maybe they want you on their podcast or they want to talk to you more, they want to talk music, They want more information about KTEL and all that great stuff for the band and all the 70s stuff you guys are doing. Where do we go, first of all? Let's talk about that and kind of what can we find when we get there?
Well, the best place is my website, likely, and which you mentioned earlier. It's jeffreybryanmusic.com and JeffreyBryan, and the word music.com. And I've got my Facebook there linked and other YouTube videos and things. It's basically a website that just has a little bit of information about me, what I've done, who I'm working with, what I care about, you know, some of my equipment.
Yeah.
And and pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's basically the best place for people. And you can email me or go to my Facebook page from there and even see more stuff.
Cool. I love your story on another episode, which you can hear on your website, where you talk about your first time playing with Survivor, getting up on stage and then putting the spotlight on you and leaving the stage. What a nice, that was a great story. definitely go and check that out. That's awesome.
Trial
story.
By fire.
Wow. For you as a musician, who would you love to step on stage with or have them step on stage with you? Who would just light you up that you could have a chance to collaborate with? Anybody come to mind?
Yeah, there's so many.
Yeah.
I this is not going to sound real real original, but Paul McCartney is still up there for me. Just his I recently saw Rod Stewart just the other day. I saw him, by the way, at Caesar's Palace. He's phenomenal. Great show. And yeah, he's another guy that would love to play in his band. But Paul McCartney, Rod Stewart, Paul Simon, great songwriters. I mean, I could go on. The list never really. No, the list ain't gonna end. You know.
Any keyboardists that you really like to pattern yourself after? You've learned something from?
Well, Elton John's always been a big influence, obviously, for the obvious reasons. Billy Joel, of course. I can think of a lot that you might not know, that aren't necessary. I mean, I through the 80s, it's funny because in the 80s I wasn't playing keys as much. It's been more I was playing guitar and singing. And I didn't really pattern my style after anybody in particular. But there's a few other keyboard players that you may not know that are phenomenal guys that I take listen to and try to mimic.
I love it. I love kind of getting somebody's source where their inspiration comes from, because that really does tell a lot about what translates into your music. So. And for you to take time, Jeffrey, to talk to us, I'm sure you're going to inspire many people. So I really...
I don't know why I didn't mention Bruce Hornsby. I mean,
Bruce Hornsby, the way it is, right? There it is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, his whole approach to piano is, you know, just crazy amazing. I mean, just pulling some of his licks and things like that. I mean, he's somebody that just is very inspirational to me.
Yeah, I was watching Harry Connick Jr. today trying to get the crowd...
Oh, and Harry Connick.
How to get the crowd
see
to clap on two and four, right? And you see him actually change the song so that the crowd doesn't stop.
You know,
I love it.
What you don't realize is he had to do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't going to work unless he fixed it.
And you see the look on his face when he realizes what's happening here. And he's like, oh, I'm going to fix this.
But it wasn't difficult. He just added a beat.
Yeah.
Just waited an extra beat and then continued. And it was brilliant, but it was also a necessary move.
Yeah.
But yes, Harry Connick is another phenomenal guy. Great talent.
Sweet. Awesome. Jeffrey, thank you so much for taking time to be on the podcast. Really, really enjoyed talking to you. We could talk for days. There's so much we could talk about musically for you and your background. But thank you for making time for us and to share all your great music and your inspiration with us. I really do appreciate having you here with me. It's great.
Yeah, well, thank you, David. I appreciate you, being such a music fan,
It's exciting. It is.
I mean,
it
you
is
play music, right? You're
Yeah, I play guitar, bass, so, drums, a little bit of keys, but
we're all fans,
just, right?
There you go, right? We all love music. You know, it's a better way to communicate.
Yeah. Music fills in the gaps where you words don't suffice. Oh, I love it.
Right on.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey guys, just jumping on here quick. This is the Add to My Playlist podcast. My name is Dave. If you go to our website, truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist, you can now leave us a voicemail and we'll put you on the podcast. Yes, you can be on the podcast. We would love to have you on. Leave us a message when you go there. This is what it sounds like. I recorded one. I'm going to insert it right here so you can hear what it sounds like. Leave us a message. Tell us what your favorite episode was. Who else should we talk about on the podcast? Who should we have as a guest? You tell us. Your voice on our podcast. I love this. Here we go. This is what it sounds like. So I'm over here on truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. I'm on the website for the Add to My Playlist podcast. I see a great video looking for guests. I see all kinds of great stuff here about the Add to My Playlist podcast. And then there's this button. It says, leave us a message. We want to hear from you. A podcast that wants to hear from its listeners? OMG. Yes, you can go to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. And you can click the link and record a message, which we will include in our podcast. Do you want to hear your voice in the podcast? Leave us a comment. Leave us a suggestion. Hey, if you have a song that you want to hear featured on the Add to My Playlist podcast, record it right here on the website. We'll use you in the episode, and we'll give you full credit. Go to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. Hit the button. Record a message. And we'll put you on the podcast. Thanks for listening to the Add to My Playlist podcast. So head over to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. Leave us a voicemail. Very simple. Come on, don't wait. We want to hear from you. Thanks.